Welcome to The Forbidden Middle. I'm Rachel Levron, your host, and today, y'all, we're talking about something that affects over 300 million people worldwide. And that's just documented cases, okay? That something we'll be talking about today is an annoying and at times debilitating condition, and it's called anxiety. In this episode, I'm not going to just list symptoms or go through a checklist from a website on psychology. Today's going to be a little more personal, scientific, and solution field. Let's take a deep breath, grab your coffee or whatever you prefer to drink, relax, and let's settle in as we explore that noise we can't seem to turn off. As much as I dislike saying this, anxiety does have its purpose. Let's rewind. Say 50,000 years, okay? Let's imagine you're a hunter-gatherer. Suddenly, you hear the grass rustling. Your body tenses, heart starts racing. You start shaking, sweating. That's anxiety. And it may save your life. On a personal note, just to throw in a real voice here, I've suffered from anxiety and panic disorder since 1999. In my own personal opinion, I'm not a medical professional. I have absolutely no formal training. Only my life experience with anxiety. But I think most people, not all, that suffer from heightened anxiety, it all stems from trauma. You know, that's just my opinion. An example would be, say, they can be walking down a beautiful stone pathway with exotic flowers everywhere. Butterflies landing on their shoulders, a nice breeze blowing, security cameras recording for safety, a security officer even walking the premises, and they see all of this, and they're still thinking, if someone starts running after me, I'm going to? What if something happens and those cameras aren't recording at the time? Are the cameras recording? Am I really safe? On and on, and thought after thought, until they can't even enjoy that beautiful day or the moment that butterfly landed on their shoulder. That's what anxiety does. And I know because I've lived and I'm still living with those struggles. I'm going to make a part two, and I'm going to share my story and struggles and things I do to calm the beast. And I'll get more in depth. But for now, let's just keep it moving. Have y'all ever wondered what anxiety wants from you? If you haven't, I bet you are now. So here's the twist, okay? It's kind of like a misguided bodyguard that thinks everything is a threat. And I mean everything. Pretty much. You ever been, say, in line at the grocery store, right? And you started to get anxious because there's so many freaking people walking around, looking at you. Or that's how you feel anyway. And you just want to drop everything or leave your buggy and walk straight out. But in reality, those people aren't a threat. They're just there for the same reason you are. And they probably didn't even give you a second glance. That's how anxiety works. I know. I've been there. Look at it like this. When anxiety overstays its welcome, it's time to go. Right? Like, get out of here. You're done. You're done, buddy. I had enough of you. Bye-bye. So we need tools to retain it, right? Now let's get into the meat and potatoes, y'all. the science-backed coping skills. This is what y'all wanted to hear, right? I'm going to break it down real. And I'm going to give you evidence-based strategies for managing anxiety. No fluff. People need tools that work. Here's four of them to get y'all started. Number one is cognitive behavioral therapy. It's also known as CBT for short. This type of therapy helps reframe irrational thoughts. Wouldn't that be freaking helpful in that grocery store situation if you could just like reframe those crazy thoughts, those anxious thoughts? Studies show CBT can be as effective as medication for some forms of anxiety. Y'all, this is so great. Because there are so many people out there taking benzos, such as Xanax, clonazepam, Ativan, etc., becoming psychologically dependent on these meds to the point that they need to have them everywhere they go. Just in case, right? Let me put it in my purse, just in case. I got to keep one in my pocket, just in case. It's there. They're psychologically dependent on them. And the doctors, they're not educating them on the dependence, nor about the severe withdrawals that are associated with anxiety meds. I call them Band-Aids, because that's all they are. And doctors, well, most doctors don't taper their patients accordingly either. So there's that. I'll leave that there. Moving on to number two, breath work. Try the 4-7-8 method. Inhale 4 seconds, hold for 7 seconds, exhale for 8. What this does is it regulates your parasympathetic nervous system. The big old word, huh? And if you're wondering what the parasympathetic nervous system does, it slows the heart rate, lowers blood sugar, promotes calm and relaxation. It balances the body by kicking in during stress and that fight or flight. And the heart beating fast, you know, rising heart rate. Number three is exercise. Even if it's just going for a walk, you don't have to go to the gym every day, y'all. When you exercise, it boosts those feel-good neurotransmitters like dopamine and serotonin, which improve mood and reduce anxiety symptoms. Exercise actually activates number three, the parasympathetic nervous system, when you exercise regularly. Also, a distraction from anxiety. It keeps your attention in the present moment. Say if you do go to the gym, you're in that moment because if you're an anxious person, then you have to be in the moment concentrating on that. You can't be looking at everybody because, oh my gosh, they're all looking at you, right? Can't have that. So we tend to just stay in our own little zone. Look at what we absolutely have to look at, put our headphones on, listen to our podcast, our music, whatever, and just leave the world around us alone and just get through it, right? Looking at the time, if you're doing a 30-minute workout, you're constantly looking, you're almost there, okay, thank God, 30 minutes, I'm out of here, bye. So yeah, it just keeps you in your own little world. Number four is mindfulness meditation. This increases the gray matter in the hippocampus and reduces amygdala activity. The hippocampus is responsible for memory formation, spatial navigation, and emotional regulation. In case y'all were wondering, I'm sorry, I get lost sometimes because I got anxiety too. In case y'all were wondering. And the amygdala processes emotions, triggers the stress response, helps store emotional memories, and it also links emotion to senses. Let's move on to anxiety and technology. Phones absolutely can be a trigger for sure. I think there's a line like doom surfing and screen fatigue. It can definitely worsen anxiety. Doom surfing, that's like when you're compulsively scrolling through like negative things, especially on social media, right? Or YouTube videos, they're the freaking worst. Because we're looking up unsolved murders and all this other crap and just doom and gloom, and we go down a rabbit hole with that. When you suffer from anxiety, the question will always be, how can I stop this, right? Because who wants it? I want it to stop. I know y'all do. That's why y'all are listening to this, right? We want it to just stop. Because it's horrible. It's horrible living with this crap. But instead of thinking that, try to think more along the lines of, how can I listen to what anxiety is trying to say? And respond with clarity, not fear. I came up with a story, okay? I made up a little story for y'all to listen to. And maybe you could just think about it and what the meaning behind it. So it's called The Coffee Shop Spiral. Okay. It was a Wednesday morning. Mia had planned this outing for days. It was just a quick coffee trip to her favorite little cafe in town, a place with soft music and friendly baristas. She hadn't been out much lately because her anxiety made even simple errands feel like mountain climbing. Still, she put on her favorite hoodie, grabbed her keys, and told herself, just get the coffee. You got this. Her mind played its usual games on the ride there. What if they mess up my order? What if someone looks at me weird? What if I panic and everyone notices? When she got to the cafe, her heart started racing. There was a line, but it wasn't long. Still, it was long enough to trigger that dizzy feeling. She stood behind a woman that was on her phone. She tried to breathe slowly, counting the tiles on the floor to stay grounded. Then it happened. The barista asked the woman ahead of her a question. The woman didn't hear it, so the barista, she repeated it louder. That tiny moment, that tiny misunderstanding flipped the switch in Mia's mind. What if I don't hear them? What if I say the wrong thing? Her palms got sweaty and her thoughts spiraled. She took a step back and thought, maybe I should leave. And then something different happened. A small voice inside her happened. And it was barely a whisper. And it said, you're okay. You don't have to be perfect. You're allowed to be here. She put one friend in front of the other, got to the counter, and ordered her latte. She then sat in the corner with her drink, heart still fluttering, but proud. Proud that she didn't run, and proud that she showed up, even with the fear. Y'all, I find that anxiety often tells us to run. Right? To avoid. To overthink. But every time we choose to stay, to breathe through it, we actually teach our brains that we're safe. That we can handle more than what we think. Mia's story, I made that up, right? But the feelings are real. And maybe next time anxiety shows up, you'll remember her moment in the cafe and find your own way to stay. You know? Anxiety is always going to be a part of your life. I know you don't want to hear that. Who does, right? I don't want to hear it. I don't like living with it. I've heard so many podcasts on it, tried so many things, but we have to live with it, right? We just have to, like I said, learn ways to tame the beast. We don't let it narrate your life. Well, that's all I have, y'all. Thanks for tuning in to The Forbidden Middle. I appreciate each and every one of you that have tolerated me and listened to me. And if this episode resonated with you, consider sharing it with someone so they know they aren't alone in this battle. Now, next week, I'm going to be talking about when anxiety wears your name. As I mentioned before, this episode is going to get personal. You know, I'm going to be opening up about my journey with anxiety and also with panic attacks. It's not fun. They're scary. We'll get into all of that in the next episode. Until then, y'all, remember, that noise may never disappear. But guess what? You can learn how to turn the volume down. Be kind. Go out, get some sun. Go for a walk. Spend time with your family. Love yourself. And I will see y'all next time on The Forbidden Middle.